Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is The Boop Show, episode 262. The date is October 26th, 2020. Hey everyone, welcome back to The Boop Show. This is The Boop Show, and I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Dunaway. Hello, Brian Dunaway.
Oh, hi, Scott Johnson. How are you doing today?
Oh, I don't know. I got a sore throat. I'm tired. I played Warcraft. I don't know. It's all right. It's okay.
You know, the great thing about being a gamer and being entertained by games is a sick day can sometimes turn into an adventure. It could be all day gaming.
Could be a play day.
Playday. It's like, I'm not feeling well, honey.
Yeah.
I don't feel well enough to go to work, but I can certainly lay in the bed and play some WoW.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind doing that, but the problem is I'm not really set up to do it. Oh, this is all right in this camera. Sorry, everybody. I'm not set up to do it anywhere but here.
And the toilet.
So if you want me, you know where to find me.
If you want me, if you really, really
if you're looking
need me,
for me, you'll know where
I'm
to
in
find
the
me.
Bathroom.
Hey, check this out. We got a lot to talk about, games and stuff and things, so stick around. It starts right here. All right, as you may be aware, we were not here last week, but don't you worry your little heads. They're games.
That was all my fault.
Well, you had stuff. You had things.
Yeah, I had things.
Yeah, we don't. We're a take care of things first kind of business around here. If you got stuff,
yeah,
you got to get
done.
We
don't take care of business. We can't play the video games. You got to work hard and play hard.
Yeah, it's not like we're talking about, you know, you had to go fold some socks or something. You had a busy, important day, big stuff going on.
I additionally had to fold socks, but I don't really fold socks as much as I like tuck them. Do you tuck socks?
Do I tuck socks? Yeah,
you don't actually fold them. You don't actually like take them, like put them. Oh, I'm gonna fold you now.
That's
the literal fold.
That's for psychos. I don't do that.
Yeah, no. You shove one. Now, do you shove the whole band or do you shove like the whole sock into another sock?
Whole sock into another sock. So I end up with like
a sock ball.
A sock ball. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Basically that.
Now I know who you are.
And also Kim does a lot of it. So I don't remember the last time I actually folded a bunch of socks. It's been a while. I have to admit. Not that
never
she has to.
A sock in my life.
Whoa, chat room says they tie socks. Rabbit Magic says, whoa.
Oh, yes. I've tied socks. I've dated crazy people before.
I have never tied a sock, ever.
I have seen a tied sock. It's kind of neat. I don't have the patience to untie them. So that's the reason why. I mostly wear elastic long socks up to my calves. So it's just really easy to go, a floop, you know, just fold it down that one time and throw it in the thing and go. Yeah.
That's how I'd do it. That's my recommendation.
I don't understand the advantage of tied socks, but I think you have to have like
what are tied
silky
socks? Tied like tied together. That's what you're saying.
Yeah,
like
you tie them together. Yeah, you tie them together. Is it like silky socks that are maybe like dressier socks or thin? Mine are all thick, athletic socks because you know gamers.
Yeah, gamers
socks,
are pretty athletic.
Big old sweaty feet.
Sure, esports.
Yeah,
right.
Esports.
You're busy doing the esports, and you know what that means? It means a sweaty hot sock.
Oh my God, man, does anything stink worse than dress socks you've got to sweat in? Oh, that's
no,
the worst.
It is the worst.
Feet sweat.
No, it's horrendous. It's wrong and it's horrendous. And nobody should have to be subjected to that for any length of time.
Yeah, that's right. Sock talk here on The Boop Show.
Sock talk. Welcome to it. All right. I'm going to start things off with talk about a game that actually came out 9 years ago today. And I know this is going to sound weird. Why is Scott talking about an old game? Because I want to talk about a game that is old but holds the hell up. And
old but hold
holds not only holds up, plays just as well, maybe better today, given that anybody with any hardware of any kind is going to be able to run this just smoothly and beautifully, which it kind of needs to be truly appreciated. That game is Renegade Ops. It's technically called The Collection, but really the original game is just called Renegade Ops. Now, this was a game.
Why didn't you call me up, man? I always have my Renegade Ops loaded up on my Steam. It's really small, and I bought it with a 4-player pack. And because this is like 4-player co-op, right?
I don't know. Is it? I haven't tried. I've only done the single player.
I think so.
Oh, all right. Well, if it is, we should play this. So basically, let me describe it to people. Renegade Ops is a game made by
the... It is a game that you play as a renegade.
It's made in operations. In operations as a renegade from the fine people over at Avalanche Studios. You know them from the Just Cause series and the Mad Max open world game and a bunch of other stuff. They make a lot of games. Published by Sega. They have a huge studio here in Salt Lake City and put out a bunch of stuff. In fact, I think this game may have been dev'd right here in town. I'm not 100% sure on that, but it's a dual stick shooter of sorts, but
yeah, it's almost a bullet hell almost. I mean, it's sometimes when you upgrade your equipment enough, it kind of feels like you're just nailing it, right?
Yeah. There's just ammunition pouring out of the front of your Jeep or your truck or your tank or whatever you're driving.
Yeah.
Imagine like a kind of a G.I. Joe scenario to the story where you're a bunch of elite soldier types who are brought in as these renegade ops or mercenaries to get a bunch of dirt done in what seems to be like, you know, Cobra Commander Town levels
Cobra
of stuff.
Commander Town.
Yeah. I mean, it's really
I don't think.
That's what they're playing with.
It's all inside the vehicles, right? Because I for some reason I was thinking you get out of the vehicle for a minute, but I don't think that's.
No, you swap vehicles sometimes. You end up in a helicopter sometimes. Sometimes you're in a jet. Okay. You're in a boat.
That's right. That's what it is.
So it's a little like what was that game?
And I'm seeing you mow down a couple of people on the ground. Oh, by the way, you are just that thing is just flaming hot right now. You've got fire coming out of your truck, and you're going against some kind of tank.
Yeah, that's your special for this particular car. And you can choose between a bunch of renegades, and they all have different abilities. Some of them put up a shield. Some like EMP all the electronics around to go dead. You know, different stuff, different flavors. But you basically, in terms of firepower, they're all pretty much the same. You upgrade your weapon as you go along, a lot like a dual stick shooter. What makes this different is the environments are almost like take Just Cause, but then zoom the camera way out and have it be top down.
Yeah, that's a great comparison. The terrain looks like a Just Cause map, right? It looks like you're just pulled out.
And I'm pretty sure this is a version of that engine. Like this is them probably playing with that Just Cause engine back in the 360 days and saying, hey, what if we made a top down shooter? And that's basically what they made. The reason I'm bringing it up now, because it's literally 9 years old today. Today is the day it came out.
Is it
9 years ago.
9 years old?
Yeah, which is nuts.
I paid $20 for 4 copies of this thing, by the way.
Oh, well done. Right now it's $15 on its own, so you've still got a pretty good deal.
Oh, yeah.
It goes on sale all the time, which you can totally wait for. I think I've seen it as low as like $4 at one point. And it goes up and down. Right now it's $15. It's on Steam. I don't know where else you'd get this. I assume Xbox will support the 360 version of it because of all their backwards compatibility. So you may be able to get it there, no problem, through Game Pass. I don't even know. I meant to check on that, which is a really cool thing. This is one of the things I'm excited about with the Series X and S is people are going to just have a wealth of discovery ahead of them that us on PCs are sort of used to, right? We're used to a billion weird games being available.
There's a whole site called Good Old Games. It's just like, oh, you want a little trip to Nostalgia Town? Come on, let's go
over here and check it out.
Hop in.
But over here or on Xbox, you're not only going to have that that kind of selection in theory, but you're going to also pay a very low monthly fee to get all of it if you want it. So anyway, I don't know if this game's even included in that, so I'm making some of this up as I go. But I kind of hope it is. I want people to discover it. I don't think a lot of people knew about it. It's not like it's got, you know, billions of reviews or anything on Steam. I think it kind of came and went. Nobody really noticed. I think it would do better today even. But it's just one of those games that I like to unearth once in a while and play. It feels really good. It explodes really good. The story is ridiculous, like over the top. We got to get in there and steal the missiles before the commander of the thing. It's total G.I. Joe. It's just G.I. Joe.
It's got that little comic window that pops up, like a little comic window pane, like you see in a comic book, right?
Yep.
And the little renegade op guy pops in there.
The bad guy's got a stupid mustache and it's all very dastardly, and he's got a plan to destroy the world, and you know.
By the way, don't forget me. It is a dual stick shooter, like you said, but the vehicles are just so much fun to skirt around, because there's a lot of drifting in the mm-hmm. dirt paths, a lot of
weird
and things.
Physics and stuff. Sure. Yeah.
Yes.
I shouldn't say weird physics, like legit physics. Like it feels like you do have to pay attention a little bit to how you're driving. It isn't just turn on a dime.
Right.
Sometimes you'll miss a point and swerve off the hill and die or whatever. That's another thing to note here. Unless you're playing it on easy, this thing is no joke. It's like difficult.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have the save points are there, but they're more like mission based save points. So you need to accomplish a thing before it's going to let you come right back where you were.
And that's what you're doing right now in this video footage. Maybe not you, but somebody's doing it. They're going to mission point to mission point. It'll let you know mm-hmm. Where the next place is, and you got to be there in so many seconds. And
yeah, there's sometimes multiple mission points. It's not always just the one. Like this one has two, and you can tell which one you're closest to because the red arrow is red and the other one's grayed out. If you went closer to the grayed out one, it would turn red and basically kind of become your primary thing. Right now, also, you can see in this video if you're watching live or on YouTube, he's currently running a timed mission, and that happens sometimes. It'd be like a 3-minute countdown on a bomb or something like that. Usually I hate timed stuff, but it actually works for me okay. I don't mind it. It's generous with the time, as long as you're not playing stupid. Yes,
exactly.
It is just a fun thing.
I remember it's funny because I played this thing for like, it seemed like a month. This is 9 years ago. I just played this thing. It was just the best. I think I even got it on the 360 as well. I remember playing the crap out of this. It's got right now, it's got the remote play on Steam, which mm-hmm. means that you can remote play together. Yep. So you can, so you got your 2-player split screen.
Yeah.
Like you do in your co-op couch. And then you got your up to 4-player online competitive co-op. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I bought 4 copies of this and I gave it away to 300 people. I remember this back in the day and
no one ever played with you. Lame. That's lame.
No one ever played with me. No, I'm talking about back in the day.
Now, I bought this on Steam. I'm going to argue the one thing that's a real standout about this game is you might say, well, 9 years ago, everything looks like crap from then. This game looks great. It looks like new. Like you could tell me if I didn't know about this game, you could say, hey, this thing just got released. It looks pretty cool. Kind of an arcadey dual skit sticky thing. Let's check it out. And I would believe you. Like it's that good looking.
Right.
So
this the minimum requirements is Windows Vista, Windows XP not supported.
Yeah.
So, XP, you know, it's old, but not that old.
Yeah, it's not. It's old enough for the Vista years. But in fact,
you're not running this in a DOS box or nothing, but
My first real push into Steam was right around the time I picked this up among some other games, but
yeah,
very fond feelings about it. And it's only $15 even now on sale all the time, like I said. So keep an eye on that. A 15 seems like too much. And if you think, 9 years ago, I don't know how it holds up. I promise you this holds up way more than you think.
It still looks as fun as I can't believe it's 9 years old. It seems like a impossibility to me.
Yep.
But that's like what? And did you say what drew you back in? You was just like just looking through your library and just like, look at this giant library.
This is what it came from. I was going through my library, going, all right, I got like 1,800 games or something,
right,
on Steam. So many codes and so many giveaways and so many who knows what all, plus stuff I bought. And I just thought, there's a lot of this I'm never going to touch once again, once or ever. Right. So I'm just going to go through and do hide this from my view, uninstall anything that I don't want on the drives, that kind of stuff. And so I did that. And down to the bottom, I was like, oh, look at this. I forgot I had this. Freaking Renegade Ops, dude. I'm going to play this. And I ended up getting sucked into this for like another 6 hours.
Oh, yeah.
And this includes all the DLC, by the way. There's like the version you get now for 15 has like all the extra levels and the bonus stuff.
Yeah, I might not have the DLC. I just, like I said, I remember it was a big deal when I picked it up.
And it's a cool game, but for real, like I say this like, look at Scott with his old freaking let's go to old shit day, but I'm saying it's worth the money. And
it's worth the $15.
It is. And I really like that game. I hope they're never going to do another one, but I wish they did. Cause I don't think
it's a little long in the tooth. Now, if they did another one, it would be quite.
Yeah. But it doesn't play long in the tooth. Anyway, that game, once again, from Avalanche Studios, mm-hmm. and Sega is the publisher. 9 years old today. That's called Renegade Ops. You can't miss it. It's on Steam. It may, like I say, be available on some console stores. I don't know where or what, but worth looking there if you want to find out. Okay, Brian, let's talk about Darkwood, which sounds
well,
like...
Well, welcome to Oldsville. We're playing some throwback games today. I've been looking at this one for a long time. This one's... don't worry, I've got a brand new game as well after this one, but same. I did the same thing. I kind of had like this... I missed this game back in the day. Came out August the 17th, 2017. Okay. So, you know, it's not 2011 old, but Darkwood, it's an older game. It is perfect for this time of year. It's dark and moody and you're in the woods. I mean, it's dark and you're in the woods.
Did you call this a Halloween game? Is it a Halloween game or just a regular scary game?
It's just a regular scary game. So if you like all those fairy tale type games, this is kind of like a thriller of sorts. But what it really is a top down horror survival game that has a lot of atmosphere and does it in a 2D environment because
I have this. This is the one that's kind of Hotline Miami view, right?
Right, it's very much top down.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, you got your, you got your three-quarter top down, which is 3D with a top down view. This is literally everything is flat except for the trees, which are coming up at you. Like in this, it is really cool how the visual of the game with these trees pointing down to your character, who is generally in the center of the screen. And it's why it's important is because this game is a very dark game, both in atmosphere and in storytelling, and it all plays together because you have a very limited view. You have a flashlight most of the time. You can get other things too. You can when you're collecting and trying to survive, you can get some torches, but for the most part, you've got this very limited view of what you're doing. Yeah. When you first start, you actually start in a very long prologue. I'd actually thought I'd already started the game. I thought I was, you know, a good hour into the game or something. I wasn't quite that long, but I was playing the prologue. And the prologue, you start out as a doctor who wakes up in this cabin of filth, right? But it's very dark. But you can see there's it's all muted colors, but everything kind of looks like there's blood, kind of like, kind of gross looking. Yeah. Just, where are you right now? You're in the woods, like in crusty, a cabin in the woods.
Like crusty, rusty wood or blood.
Yeah, crusty, but there's blood stains, or maybe blood stains. Kind of looks like somebody took a pig, cut its throat, and drug it all around the house. Maybe that's what happened. Maybe I don't know, because the game's not going to tell you. You're waking up, and you're kind of a little bit out of it, and you're playing as this doctor, and you're looking around at your different tools of torture, it looks like. You're like, oh my god, what is this guy doing?
Do you not have a memory of what kind of doctor you were, or what's the, I can't remember how that works. Did you wake up?
You're some kind of surgeon of some sort, I'm assuming, because you have all the surgical equipment, but not like good surgical equipment. No, you're looking at the screen right now, you'll see what kind of surgical equipment I'm talking about, like old rusty cage kind of gross stuff. So you're going, this is an explorer game. So in addition to trying to survive, you're doing a lot of exploring. And you'll be starting out in a cabin, and as you go along, you'll also be encountering other places that will be mostly cabins that are all in disarray. There's not like a lot of people hanging out in this world. It's basically an abandoned world, essentially, and you're lost in the woods, even though you live here. So it's kind of like,
and it's legit
to make
freaky,
you feel
by the way.
Filter.
It's freaky as shit. Everything about this zone, ugh, I hate it.
It is so freaky. And when you first start playing, you don't notice because you're kind of going around and stuff. There's no music in the prologue. You didn't even realize it. And you're like, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. Up until a certain point in the prologue. And all of a sudden, when you get outside into the woods, it starts playing really quietly. And also there's a dog going, and you come across the dog. I don't want to give anything away, but the dog's not doing well and you don't help. All right. So this is not a happy story at all. So I have to get through the prologue. At the end of the prologue, you run across a stranger. Stranger danger.
Oh, stranger this guy's danger.
This guy's got a key, right? And it's got a number on it. And so you get the key. And suddenly it switches from being the doctor to being this stranger guy. Ooh. And you don't have much more information either. But apparently the doctor has kidnapped you. So you were playing the bad guy all along in the prologue.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh my God, he's lost his mind.
Who would have known? Who would have thunk it?
Right. So he locks you up, right? Okay, so he locks you up. And that's the, I don't want to give too much because the prologue is fairly quick. And that kind of gives you the idea of what you're dealing with here. So now you're the stranger and you kind of start over again after you escape from the doctor and you're in a cabin and you suddenly discover why you're doing all this survival stuff. Because even though during the daytime, I thought it was always dark. All right. I was like, oh, it's nighttime. I'm carrying around a flashlight. Yeah. No, daytime flashlight, nighttime flashlight, useless. Mm. It's just dark, dark. Mm. Daytime dark, nighttime pitch black.
Wow.
So you got to do your collecting during the daytime. By the way, you get a map. The map has you're kind of writing it as you go along. So you have like these, if you've discovered something, it'll show up on your map. But otherwise, you just kind of got to feel your way through because like in shapes, you're like, oh, I'm in this area and there's shapes here for me to kind of navigate through. Oh, I located something. Now it's on my map and I can navigate and get back where I need to. By the way, the whole time you're doing all this, there's creepy sounds going on. It's just, it sucks you in. It's amazing that a 2D game, top down 2D game, can give you such willies, but I had the willies the entire time I was doing. Okay, so you're in your camp. You've been collecting wood. You're collecting gas. The reason why I got to collect gas is because you have a generator. You got to fill that thing. It uses up the gas. You got to go out and get some more. And while you're doing all that, you're gonna need to start barricading up your house, which is in bad shape. All right, it's in bad shape, and so it's got a lot of holes and stuff in it where things can get in.
Mm.
And you're like, what kind of things? Well, you're gonna find out. So if you play Darkwood, you're going to find out what's getting into your cabin, because that's what you do during the daytime. You do your survival thing. You get it all done. You get back. You put your traps in place. You barricade everything up and you hope you did a good job. And hopefully you didn't forget a back door somewhere and something won't get you. You run into some really interesting characters as well. There's some really otherworldly fairy tale stuff going on here, man. It really feels like that Eastern European kind of dark, moody kind of story.
Mm.
And I really enjoyed it. 2017, like I said, I played about 16 hours. I didn't play 16 hours. How long to beat is about 16 hours on average. The game's about $15 right now. I actually received this game for review. Mm. And I've been enjoying it. I got it on PC. Steam. Did I say who the publisher was? I'm not sure if I did. I'm going to say it right now, though. Acid Wizard Studio is dropping the acid, and they're publishing it. What do you think, Scott? You think you're down with this? You think you can play some Dark Woods? You got the game already.
You've already played it? And I didn't play very long because it freaked me the hell out. I didn't expect a 2D horror game to get under my skin like it did, but it did.
It really does. And one of the ways it does it is it does a really good job of sucking you in by making it slow paced. So you can't move it so fast. And they ensure that by giving you a very limited stamina. So you'll be walking along a little bit and you'll be out of breath and your character's going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
Yeah.
But there's a lot. I didn't even talk about all the crafting. The crafting is I played this with the full controller support. You can do a keyboard or do partial controller support, I believe. But I played this fully with the controller, and I was able to craft and do everything I needed to do. You'll be collecting a lot of wood so that you can craft things to, you know, make torches, to make booby traps, just about anything you would need to survive in this horror that is Darkwood. And the whole point is to try to escape. And as you go along, you keep finding and uncovering creepy crap like photos. It's like, oh, what is that a photo of? Well, I don't even know what that photo is. It's like some kind of weird, scary thing that I don't want to know. I don't want to look at it anymore. So you didn't make it very far then. So you just kind of
just enough to like say, yeah. Well, okay. I remember one of my complaints was I didn't like the controls. I thought the controls were wonky. They had like,
right. Were you using a controller or were you using?
Tried it both ways. And in both cases, they just used a funky layout. It's like, buttons that you would just normally naturally expect an A to do on a 360 controller or an Xbox One controller. You'd expect a certain behavior. And instead it's like, no, you push Y for that. You push X for that. Like it didn't play by any kind of standard
normal rules.
And that bugged me. It annoyed me.
It reminded me of your resource tab. You know, I reminded me of Terraria. Is that right? Terraria? Terraria. See, I can't think of that at the same time I'm thinking Darkwood. But anyway, it's got like this, like you said, it's kind of difficult because if you need to, you have three equipment slots.
Yeah.
And if you need to equip something, then you have to press to pick it up from your inventory. Then you have to move it. And it's kind of hard to see because everything is so dark. And you can't really tell what's highlighted. But eventually I got to the point that it was okay because I wasn't, when I stopped trying to rush through and really just took my time, which is what the game is trying to get you to do, then it worked out a little better. There's no big jump scares, so I don't think you'll be screaming at this game. So don't expect jump scares from this game. This game is just a dark, moody experience that when you leave, you're like, I feel.
It's unsettling, yeah, for sure.
It's unsettling. That's a good term. Yeah,
which
right
is the only
there
stuff that really gets under my skin. Like I, as much as I go on about jump scares and like, I don't know, Resident Evil, the stuff that really gets me is like, you know, what are those two? Outlast 1 and 2.
Just
getting my blood, dude. They just ruined my day. I can't. It's like watching. it's to me, it's the difference between Friday the 13th, which is whatever, and watching Hereditary, which gives me nightmares for weeks.
Yeah.
It's just a certain kind of horror that gets me every time. And this game seems to know what pushes my buttons. So I'm really glad to hear you liked it, though.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the crap. I hate that I waited so long to play it. It was, like I said, I remember when it came out, you know, 2017, and for some reason, I just never could pick it up. And I don't know if it got better over time or if it looked interesting. I'll tell you, the cover art is what sold me. I mean, have you seen the cover art to Darkwood?
Yeah, it's very cool. It's freaky.
It's very cool. It's very freaky. And so it's always been in my mind to get it. And I was on keymeller.co one day and I was looking at some games to, you know, request keys for. And I was like, hey, there's a Darkwood I never did play. I was like, and why not? And I guess it being near Halloween, I guess they said, send that guy a code so he can freak himself out and feel like he's going to throw up. These kind of games make you feel like you're going to throw up. Is that what it is? It's kind of like you feel dead. You almost feel like you're crawling with worms or something. It's
I guess you kind of, yeah, I'd say that's true. That game definitely gets under your skin in that way, in the way that a worm would in your corpse. That's a good way of putting it. All right. I'm going to tell you about a game now that's not in the same vein, but we're in the same neighborhood. Let's say that the game is called End Zone, A World Apart, and it's got nothing to do with football.
That sounds exactly like what I played.
Yeah. Oh, good. It's nothing like football. It is instead a top down city builder set in a dystopic post-apocalyptic world.
This looks interesting.
Yeah. So it's a survival city builder type thing. Games you want to think of are things like Banished, where it's more about, it's not Sim City by any stretch. It's more like build your city, but also survive lots of harsh conditions. There are plenty of other games.
So it's like
this.
That Frost game, Frostpunk.
A little like Frostpunk. Yeah. Good example. The difference here is that there are a lot of difficulty settings I can tinker with this that make it so it's not as punishing as Frostpunk, which was I found to be over.
Oh, it was so punishing. It's like, hey, what would it feel like if you were in Russia?
Yeah, it's a bit much.
Is that a thing?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, the Russians, there's some parts of Russia would be all right.
Oh, yeah, parts of Russia. No, I'm talking about the really cold parts.
Yeah, like Siberia is what you're thinking of.
Right.
This is a game where you build after civilization has completely gone to poop, what they call in the game a shattered world. You're threatened by constant radiation, toxic storms, rainstorms, and droughts. There are no zombies. That's not part of this world. So no horror elements.
So you're either dead or alive.
That's basically it. Yeah. You either survive the apocalypse and are going to try a fresh take on the world or you're dead. Standouts here are graphics are really good, I think, for a game like this. Also super simple UI, really easy to sort of find your way around menus and figure out what to build next and how to do it. The tutorial is very helpful. But there's a lot of stuff like go harvest whatever's left of the wood and then bring it back to this place. And oh, you've cleaned out that zone of wood. Well, move the zone somewhere else, and your workers will do it there.
Okay, so that's what I was about to say. It looks like what is that game I just played recently that is a space game that kind of does this? Do you have to have your people positioned in a certain area within the placement of like the collecting of the wood? So like, is there like a ring where your characters have to be to be able to know to do anything?
The characters don't, but if you're going to have Let's say it's a reclamation thing that like
surviving
that takes,
Mars
that takes like plastic and other junk out of it, out of things. If you put that out there in the middle of the place, you want to make sure that in the ring is some plastic deposits or junk deposits so they can actually get to them. And then you assign workers to that building. So, if you've got workers assigned there and you're within its ring of influence is stuff that they can harvest, they'll do it. They'll just do
gotcha.
It. So you're not actually controlling each dude.
Right. Surviving Mars is what I was thinking of, I think. And it kind of had that.
Yeah, similar stuff. Actually, Surviving Mars is a lot like this, to be honest. The big difference is it's just a little bit more like, oh, it's Earth and everything's to shit and you don't even have water and at night it gets real bad. And
there's no Matt Damon. It's a totally different game. Plus, it's called End Zone. Where is this game from? Is this an American game? It's a weird. I mean, anybody in America would go End Zone instantly football thought.
Well, right? Maybe. I think these guys are. I don't know where they're from, actually. That's a really good point. It's great.
Gently Mad Studios.
Assemble Entertainment is publishing the title. It's available on Steam Early Access currently. They seem to be very responsive to their community. One of those good early access experiences so far for me and for others. I like it. I think the micro is really good in the game. By micro, I mean, you know, like a lot of these games are just sort of sitting around waiting for gold to build up. That's not this kind of game. You're like, all right, well, I need to check on this building because something's weird. Oh, there's
These are Germans.
Oh, they're Germans. Germans. Well, that's your problem. They don't know what an end zone is. Anyway, so it's good. I like it a lot. And the music's cool. It's one to watch for sure. If you're not an early access kind of person, I totally get it. There's already a lot here to play with. So if this sort of stuff tickles your fancy at all, grab it. If you want to wait, go ahead. I'm sure it'll be more money when it releases.
Hey, man, what exactly is a fancy and why would you want to tickle it?
I hear that
a lot.
I get kicked off Twitch if I put it on camera. I can't show you my
fancy. Okay, don't show me your fancy. Okay. Yeah,
not
so you don't need to lay down on the bed to tuck in your fancy.
No, I don't. Did you watch that thing, by the way? Did you watch
I did
thing?
Not.
You need to watch it. Hey, let me tell you why you need to watch Borat 2. It's not just for that moment. Because that moment is something. But I can't believe I'm going to say this. Borat 2 has way more heart than I expected. Like, it actually has some feel-good elements in it that are genuine and real. And I really liked it.
He kind of does it in the... Sasha kind of does it in the first one, too, right?
Kind of, but not like this. I've seen them both. And this one, to me, really rung a bunch of bells I wasn't expecting to have rung.
It tickled your fancy.
Yeah, it tickled my fancy, but not in a sort of Rudy Giuliani way. Anyway, people should watch it. It's good. All right. So that's the game. Oh, and it's on Steam. That's where it is. The name again is End Zone, A World Apart. Check it out.
And that name again is Mr. Plow.
Mr. Plow.
This week.
Yes.
I played the game I played that was new. Also received this game for review. It just came out October the 19th, 2020. It's called Crown Trick. And I think you're going to like this game, Scott. Huh. I think you need to get it. It is a roguelike with turn-based combat as a dungeon crawler.
Oh, you're speaking my language, sir.
Why like it? It is beautiful. It has some great looking animation. It's got some great looking painterly cut scenes that are just gorgeous.
Yeah.
The only thing that it does bother me is my Rayman problem.
Oh, we got disconnected limbs, do we?
We have no arms, Brian, for wit to carry our weapons. However,
he hates
it's okay.
That so much. It's your least favorite thing in the world.
It's okay. So we're gonna help Elle, who's our character here. We're playing Crown Trick, and what's going on
is
a crown like you put on your head. Now you remember a few weeks back I played a game called Slash Quest where a sentient sword directed the primary character to do things. This one is a crown, and what is the trick? I don't know. But I'm sure I'm going to find out. I haven't completed this game yet, but I'm a couple hours in. But I'll tell you, at first I was like, oh, I'm just not interested in this.
I'm just looking at video. I'm very, not the video chat saying, let me jump ahead some. I am very interested in this. This is such a jam.
And at first I was like, oh, this is going to be overly simple. It's going to be another slash quest, which, don't get me wrong, I love slash quest because it's a two button game that does really simple things. And I was afraid this was going to be a very simple game, but it really starts to increase in difficulty very quickly. And it really grabbed me after the first, maybe the first 30 minutes. Oh my gosh,
minutes. You got to fight a chicken and the giant chicken.
You got
name
to
is a
fight a chicken.
It's called Swashchuckler. It's called Swashchuckler, Brian.
They have some great names. I love the weapons because this is grid-based combat. By the way, I just lit that chicken on fire.
Yeah.
I'm going to have myself some barbecue chicken tonight.
Correction. Swashchuckler. You said a swashchuckler on fire.
Get he's a swashchuckler. Yeah. So I love the combat system in this game. And it's been compared to another game, but I can't recall what it was now. But I love the combat system. You can do blinking. So you'll have if you have a weapon, it'll be able to attack in a certain direction, or sometimes all around you, according to what the weapon is. Axes you can swing around in like a circle. And then, you know, like sword, you can go so far, like one or two tiles away from you. But you also could do this blinking thing, which allows you to blink to another location. So if you've made your move, but you're worried that Fiston be turned over to the enemy, you can blink out of there and force them to come chase you. So I really liked that. I like the looting. I like how you're unlocking what are called familiars in this dream realm of randomly generated dungeon rooms and weapons. You unlock these familiars, and then they come back to the hub area where they will, you know, they'll sell you things, upgrade equipment, sure, and that kind of stuff. And you'll do that through currency, through gold, and it's like a soul shard kind of thing. One, if you die, you lose. I think you lose all your gold if you die before you get to the end of the area, but I think you always keep your soul shard. So there's two different paths for upgrades and getting the weapons that you might want, or getting the possibility of those weapons spawning during the creation of each of these. I really liked it. When I played it, though, I was like, Scott's going to love this game.
Oh,
it
looks like my jam. I like a lot. Totally looks like my jam. I would play the hell out of this game. I'm getting this game.
Right. It's called Crown Trick. It's on Steam now for it's 10% off. Just came out October 19th. It's $18 right now. Normally, I think it's going to be $20. The average gameplay is about 17 hours, but you can easily sit down for 30 if you do the main story and the extras, which is how I was playing it. I was in no hurry to get done. I was enjoying each one of them and strategizing on how to best beat each of these rooms as I went along.
The description says all the dungeons are procedurally generated, so in theory you can get a lot of replayability out of it as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm interested in the story. I haven't really dug into the story yet. I feel like there's a good story there, but I honestly, in the 2-3 hours I played, I didn't pick up a lot of story because I was spending so much time trying to learn the combat system and just enjoying myself, just looking at the beautiful maps and stuff. I loved it.
Yeah, it looks great. Looks super great.
Next Studios, and then is the developer and published by Team 17.
Team 17. Team 17 is great. They got the Worm series. That's them.
Yeah, they published some great games. Oh,
Goner 2 just showed up on Game Pass. Sorry, I'm noticing all these things. I was just trying to see if this game was on Game Pass, just, you know, because you always check.
No, that happens a lot of times. Yeah. It'll just show up on Game Pass. I hope it does really well, because when I first started playing it, I got it pretty early on, and I didn't see a lot of reviews, and I was like, ooh, hope it's not going to be. You know, but the reviews are starting to come in, and they're pretty positive, everything I've seen so far.
I think it looks great. I'm going to check it out. That seemed like my jam for show.
For show.
All right. Well, we've done well here with our games today. Now this. Whoops. Shit. Where is it? Time for us to play Guess Our Game. We do this every show where we have a little sound clip. We try to confuse each other into wondering what the hell kind of game is this. And they're always older, but not always that old. Sometimes they're
We go a little early. You know, if I pick a game from 2005, don't be shocked. 2009, I think, is one of the more recent ones I've done.
Yeah, don't freak out, because
don't freak out. It's all right.
So here's mine. Let's see if you can figure this out. A game I was completely obsessed with when it came out. Let's say it's about 90s in the 90s old?
In the 90s, in the 1990s?
Yeah, the 1990s okay. is when you would have seen this. The 19th century still. Or 20th rather.
20th century. So that's how that works.
Yeah, that's how that works. We're always one ahead of the thing you're in. Anyway, here it is. See if you can figure it out.
Switched up. Now we're playing a totally different game.
Any guesses?
I don't recall this game, but this game has a lot of sound processing that sounds similar to a lot of things I remember.
The chat room's smart. They got it already.
Oh, the chat room got it. All right, yeah. Chat room. I don't know, but it certainly was a different intro music, and then it went into this fun kind of little
intro and then womp. Battle music basically. So the game is available on the Game Boy Advance if you're out there trying to find it.
Game Boy Advance, that was some really good audio for that.
Yeah, did all right. The game itself is Advance Wars for the original GBA.
I never played that one. I know what it is, but I've never played it.
It's an amazing game. Advance Wars, one of my favorite GBA games ever. I would play it right now if I had it in front of me. I loved Advance Wars.
I loved it. I would let it touch my fancy.
Yeah, let it rub your fancy. And here's the thing. It's in sort of the same vein as this clown trick thing you showed me, or crown, sorry.
Yeah.
You're saying clown.
Crown trick.
And
it's not clown trick. It's crown trick. I don't know what the trick is yet, but the crown is definitely in there.
There are no clowns in there, as far as we know.
No clowns.
Yeah, stay out of the clown.
Happy world. Halloween.
Happy Halloween, everybody.
But by the way, this will be the last show before Halloween, right?
Oh, yeah, it is, I guess.
Because we won't have another one before Halloween.
Yeah, so it is. So have a great Halloween.
So happy Halloween.
Yeah, happy COVID-19 Halloween.
happy chunk the candy from the porch Halloween.
Yeah, all the numbers are going up, so enjoy your holiday. All right, Brian, I'm going to play yours now. Let's see if I can figure it out. Here we go.
Oh, look.
Oh, you have set
up? In the first 10 seconds, I'll give you extra credit for getting it. After that, you should probably get it. Go ahead.
Okay. Let me see what I got. The frick is this? Is this like, this is not Warcraft, Orcs and Humans, is it?
Yes, it's Warcraft, Orcs and Humans.
Is it? Oh, no way.
Yeah, I tried to pick an area that might not be as obvious, but yeah.
I could hear the orky talk was definitely familiar, but I haven't heard Orcs and Humans in years and years and years.
Yes.
Wow.
Good job. Look at you. I figured it might be in your mind since you were playing Warcraft so much. So I was hoping it would be.
The original, man. I have been. I've been playing WoW like a madman the last couple of weeks since this past.
Madman.
Can't stop. Today, actually, tomorrow was supposed to be the release date of Shadowlands, the new expansion, but they pushed it and we still don't have a new date. So get your shit together, Blizzard. You can't be doing this while I'm playing freaking Cyberpunk. What are you doing to me?
Yeah.
Oh, I might get. Watchdog Legion.
I've seen a lot of people looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to it as well. I want it to be good.
I'm nervous.
I don't know if I can. I'm trying not to because I am afraid I will get sucked in deep and I don't want to.
Well, yeah, that game would be one you would get sucked in deep. But this is the thing. Like, if WoW was coming out tomorrow, I wouldn't even think about it. I'd just be focused on that. Since it's not, I feel like it's time for a big AAA game. I think Legion might be up for a bit. Because in a month, I'll be playing freaking Cyberpunk.
Yeah.
And by that time,
Cyberpunk's not even a question.
We're going to be living in a very potentially a very different world in a month. So we'll see.
We'll know in about 2 weeks, won't we? We'll know
what's going on. Yeah. We'll see what's what. All right. Well, that was fun. I always enjoy that. Now this. Time for us to read an email from our listenership. These come to us at core. Ooh, nope, wrong show. These come to us at boopshow@gmail.com. boopshow@gmail.com. I knew that. I don't know why I said that. Because I'm tired. Look, I got a sore throat. I don't know what it is. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to get tested. All right? I just want to
Yeah.
Have it be a cold.
You're doing the right thing. You're gargling with salt water. You need to get you some, you need to get you some old school remedies. You need some lemon juice, honey, you know, and some hot water and
look
just
this little teacup
get
I got.
Rid of it.
You see this? It's like small one, like the little one you always carry.
Oh, that's nice.
Yep. I got an old bag in there. Got to clean this out, but there's a little tea bag lump. There it is. Been doing the tea thing.
Is that where you keep your fancy?
Lemon. Yeah, this is where I touch my fancies, right in there. Anyway, this email came to us at boopshow@gmail.com, and it says the following. This is from Mr. Belvedere. I assume it's the dude from TV.
Oh, I love Mr. Belvedere.
I didn't. It was a bad show.
Oh, come on.
Dude, there was nothing good about Mr. Belvedere. Think about it for
a second. It was the
best. No, it was bad. It was bad. Even then, I knew it was bad. Even then.
You didn't know nothing. How old were you?
Look, Different Strokes, I can have fond memories of it, but I know it was bad. I know.
Different Strokes wasn't bad. You shut your mouth.
It was bad. Silver Spoons,
they're
bad.
Different Strokes.
Silver Spoons
no,
was
Silver
bad.
Silver Spoons was trash.
What was the other spinoff? The all the girls living with the old maid, the maid from...
Oh my gosh. You don't even know Different Strokes than the Facts of Life.
Like Facts of Life with Tootie and everybody.
Look, Different Strokes and Facts of Life were major hitters. Silver Spoons went for like a half a season and then it went straight to syndication. So I can get on board with your trash
bad.
Talk. But George Clooney started on Facts of Life. I mean, come on.
He's lucky he made it out of there. For real. Like, he's seriously lucky. And by the way, that lasted longer than you think. Silver Spoons went from 82 to 87.
I know. And went straight, almost practically went straight to syndication. Those kind of shows really lasted a long time, even though they didn't necessarily have a primetime spot.
Well, I think Silver Spoons was straight up on, here, hold on. Now I got to know.
It was originally, it wasn't a primetime spot, but then it went to syndication, if I remember correctly.
Well, everything does season. After it ends, right? So,
well, no, I mean, it went straight to syndication, meaning that it only was sold to markets in syndication that it never had first run primetime.
Oh, you're right. It got showings. Canceled by NBC and then got moved to NBC Communications, got the series to do syndication with after that. That's interesting.
Right. Never question Brian's TV knowledge from the 80s.
No, I believe you. I believe you know. But also that show is garbage. And so is everything else. Anyway, he says, hey, I've always listened to your show. Love the Guess My Game segment. Wish I had the time zone to watch more of your live streams. Anyway, have you ever heard of a Spanish game developer called Loco Malito? Loco Malito.
Loco Malito.
Which stands for Crazy Malito.
Crazy Mallows.
Says, since the 2000s, he'd been making freeware video games, which looked like they belong in the 80s. I mean, chiptunes, tough gameplay, CRT scan lines, the works. You should check out his website at locomalito.com. Every game is still very well made and very hard. If only one of you reads this email, could you please... I should have done this. Could you prank the other in the Guess My Game segment with one of these? There are videos on the website, so it's pretty easy with regards.
Well, I guess you ruined that.
Too bad, Mr. Thanks Belvedere. Yeah, it didn't happen.
I'm liking this. I'm on the website now on the Loco Malito, and I'm looking at it now, and I like what I am seeing graphic-wise.
You're excited.
These are like really high-quality, in the spirit of kind of games.
Did he made these himself? Is that what I'm gathering here? Like here, this game he made. He's got a game called Solar Gladiators made in 2020.
Solar Gladiators.
Look at this.
That looks, if you told me that was a game that was an arcade, I'd be like, sure. I believe you.
You just download this stuff. You just get to play it.
You just download it. You just play it right here. You play it just like right this. Look at that. Oh, it's got a real good MAME feel to it.
Yeah. I like everything about these. I love stuff like this. That's so cool that he's making these.
Influences the Disc of Tron. And the Chakram of Xena. Oh, I like all of this.
Oh, and they made a custom cabinet for a couple of these because they were so well received. So like at Cabinet Con or whatever it's called, arcade con.
And you gave Mr. Belvedere a bad name. Look at that. Mr. Belvedere coming through for us.
No, the TV show Mr. Belvedere gave Mr. Belvedere a bad name because it's a bad television show made of
poo. But is it?
It's made of poo. Oh, but, I'm going to play the side-scrolly one. Look at this thing, Chad. Look at this. That looks like a game to play.
It looks like you could... Right. Now, was Emmanuel Lewis? No, what was that? What was
that
Emmanuel
was
Lewis
Webster.
That was Webster. But didn't he have like a Mr. Belvedere type too?
It, either way, it sucked.
Was it a spinoff? I wasn't really big into Mr. Belvedere.
It's poopy on a tree. It's bad. Everything we've mentioned is all from the same era. It's all cut from the same cloth, and it's shit. All of it. I grew up then, man. I watched that stuff, but it was bad.
I ate all of it. I got my cereal. I went and I sat down and said, let's eat this.
I'm just going to eat this. I mean, Saturday morning's a different animal. I loved everything on Saturday mornings, but primetime comedies, the 80s were not great. All right.
Right. I don't even know if Mr. Belvedere was really, was he primetime?
Oh, yeah.
There was so many straight to syndication stuff during that time. It's really hard to say.
Belvedere. Let's find out. Mr. Belvedere. Oh, it's based on a novel? Jeez.
Yeah, it's based on an old story. To me, it's been a movie before. I mean, it's been around for a while.
I did not know that. This ran only 2 years, 85 to 87.
Right.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. Hold on.
Did it take a Silver Spoons route?
Sorry, 85 to 90. So 5 years.
Oh.
And it is, let's see, it ran on, what channel does it say? Oh, come on now.
That definitely means it was probably straight to syndication because it was probably on all those.
Should have been.
All those Fox WB syndicate channels.
Yeah. Oh, no. Here it is. ABC Television.
No.
It doesn't say what time of day.
I
remember that being at night, like, you know, must CB TV time. TV CB time.
Right. CB TV.
CB TV. Oh, the cough. I'm trying to keep it in. All right.
I love a Mr. Belvedere game where I could play Mr. Belvedere. That'd be great.
You're wrong to like anything associated with Mr. Belvedere, except for this new guy who sent us this cool link. That's pretty cool.
He's new guy.
Boopshow@gmail.com is where you send it, or where you send your emails. Please send more. We love them. And in the meantime, check us out at frogpants.com/BOOP. Twitter, Boopshow. Brian's at the Brian Dunaway. I'm at Scott Johnson.
Oh, hi.
And you can find more shows like this at frogpants.com. Brian, any final finishing words to the audience today?
Finish him. Uh-huh. Babality.
Uh-huh.
Is that what you want to know? Okay, yeah. Let's see. I'll be playing. I finished the Zelda.
Yeah.
And so now I've got to figure out what I'm doing on Thursday. So tune in Thursdays when I figure it out with me.
Yeah, help him figure out what he's going to stream.
On twitch.tv/Brian Dunaway.
That's right.
Check it out.
If you want to catch this show live, 3:30 Mountain Time on Mondays at twitch.tv/frogpants, we expect to see some of you there. Thank you all for watching and being here and listening. We'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I don't like steam. I love steam.